Recording.
Before we start, this is something that kind of excites me. Gabby talked to me this past Monday and said, "Ron, I want to know how I know I'm born again." And more or less the same thing that Sister Shepherd said in the dream. You know, is it in blasphemous names, that sermon? Mm-hmm. Brother Dale said for us to listen to over and over again. And Sister Shepherd's wondering if she's born again or how she knows she has a new birth. And Gabby had asked me Monday, because of something Brother Dale said Sunday morning in the service that caught her attention and kind of put a question in her mind. And so that's what he's trying to do. If you remember, he's always saying, like every service, "I wish I could preach so much to where you realize you're lost," so that you would start seeking God. Because a lot of people have come to a position, whether it be justification or sanctification, and stop short of getting the Holy Ghost. And to me, if you ever stop at any time in your journey, then you know you haven't really made any progress. You haven't even really started, in my mind. If you just come to any place and stop, you're not where you need to be. Even if you believe you have the Holy Ghost, you still keep going on, still keep seeking more of God. So it thrilled my heart that Gabby would ask me that, and I know she'll hear this on the tape later. So she said I asked her if I could talk about this for an illustration. All right. So she said, "How do I know I'm born again?" I said, "Well, this is how I know I'm born again," and I based it on an experience I had in 2015. And actually, since that time, I haven't sat down and stopped and said, "Well, now I'm born again, I'm waiting on you to catch up, wife." It's not like that. A few years ago, something happened to me where a simple verse of Scripture was quickened to me, one that I'd read many times, and it just came to life. Mm-hmm. And I had never seen it in that light before, and since that time, there's been a continual unfolding of the Word of God. To me, that's a new birth. It hasn't stopped. And I haven't stopped in my fervent desire to keep going on with God. So, but I had actually already been a Christian for 18 years by that time. So it was, I gave my heart to the Lord when I was 12. And since that time, just been a continual growth. Well, anyway, I said, just don't stop seeking. You know, just never stop seeking more of God. And He'll fill you with the Holy Ghost in His time. You just keep going. But anyway, and a lot of brothers, I got to thinking, a lot of husbands, if their wife said, "I don't know if I'm born again," a lot of brothers might say, "Well, no, don't say that. You know, you shouldn't say that because you spoke in tongues, you shouted, you ran the aisles, you danced in the Spirit." And I might say to her, "You sit up 3 hours or 2 hours every single night and listen to sermons." You know, she cuts into her sleep time to do that because that's the only time she can do it. That's the only time she can make time for the Lord is after she puts the kids down for bed at 10 o'clock, I go to work, and she's cutting into her sleep time to stay up and listen to sermons of these ministers, seeking God. And I might say, "Well, Gabby, you could look to that. That's your new birth." But it's not. That's not a new birth. That's seeking for a new birth. But, you know, you can't base it on some kind of experience like that. It's got to be a birth of the Word. That's what the new birth is, birth of the Word. It's exactly what it is, and that's all it is. It's not speaking in tongues, shouting. And you know, who was it, John or Charles Wesley? I think it was John Wesley. But isn't he the one that came over here and said, "I came to America to convert the heathen, but who will convert me?" And well, I guess it was his brother that was appalled at this man that had lived so holy and said, "How can you say that? Look at all that you've done. You know, everything you've done for the Lord." But I'm thrilled to death that she's still seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Thrilled to know it, and I think she's glad to let it be known and not ashamed of it. There's nothing ashamed about that.
Right.
For me to be a Christian for 18 years before I count my new birth to have actually started is... it's not. I'm not embarrassed to say it. I'm just still seeking for more of God, though. Okay? So we'll go ahead and pray. That was just a little testimony I wanted to share with y'all. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, that you'll bless us in the service today and in the Sunday school and the service this afternoon, Lord. Just anoint our ministers, let you speak and our ears to hear, Father, as your word comes forth. Just give glory to yourself and everything that's done, Father, and help us just to dwell on you, keep our hearts focused on you, Lord. And touch all the sick and all those who are out today, Lord, Bob Thomas and all the many others, Lord, just manifest your healing in all of our bodies. And just give us what we have need of today, Father. We thank you for the day, beautiful weather you've given us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I have a few little slides, touch up some stuff. But what we're going to do is review a little bit from the last lesson about gone astray. And then we're going to pick up where we left off. All right? And I never did think to put this in last time, so I thought I'd add this. This is Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Okay. So like last time we were talking about sheep, all we like sheep have gone astray. The title has gone astray. This time, part two. Very simple title. Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Psalm 119:176. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. So the objective today is to better understand the sheep-like nature that we have as humans and to recognize that we have a tendency to go astray. And most important, to recognize that we need a fivefold ministry and we need to follow our shepherd, our Holy Spirit, and these men. Alright? There is no such thing as being too dumb to understand the mysteries of God. I used this slide last time, I want to just reiterate. Okay? Very important. There's no such thing as being too dumb to understand the mysteries of God. He reveals them to babes, the uneducated, the unsophisticated, the simple, and the humble. It's not too hard or too complex to understand. We simply need to read, listen, and pray, and trust God to bring the understanding. Two of the most revelated men that I know of, that I listen to on a regular basis, is our pastor, who has like a ninth grade education, is that right? Maybe a GED? Did he get a GED?
He started into the 10th, got a GED.
Limited education. And then Brother Branham, about a 7th grade, I think, education. And these godly men have come to a place of revelation and where I want to be. And so, you know, that underlines, emphasizes that you don't have to have education or be sophisticated. Really, you're in a better position, right the opposite of that. Just get real little, real humble before the Lord. Sheep instinctively follow the lead sheep in their flock, similar to our instinct, the Adamic nature. Sometimes that leader can be just the first sheep that moves to another location. However, sheep often follow the oldest mother, the ewe, in the flock, like Eve. Humans do the same thing. I talked about that last time. God hiding simplicity. Because man is not made up in the beginning, was made up in the beginning, not to try to shift for himself. A man was made to rely completely upon God. That's the reason we're likening to lambs or sheep. A sheep cannot lead himself. He has to have a leader, and the Holy Spirit is supposed to lead us, so a man is made that way. It was not a flaw. It was not unintentional. God made us that way, so we seek Him. All right? As sheep, we have a natural tendency to go astray from common sense and sound doctrine. Last time I gave you all these examples, natural, most of them just natural things of life, and how we go astray, and all those things in our finances, parenting, driving, and so forth. But I'm just going to talk about the Christian life this time. There we go. Now, if we're not careful, we can go astray even on our Christian experience. 2 Peter 3:17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. A few pages. Alright. I kind of goofed up on this little game. I told y'all last time we're going to start doing a Name That Preacher. That's my little game. For the purpose of getting you to realize how much God is speaking to us through these men. Because, you know, as I quoted to you last time, the scripture, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country, among his own kin. Many of you are kin to the preachers here. Or at least we all know them on a personal basis. So it's kind of hard to look past that veil of the flesh and see the God behind that speaking to us. But He's there. Okay, and if you just look at this statement or any of these statements that I point out to you and focus on that, you might see that this is a very profound thing that's really happening. And I gave this one away last time. I said our pastor said this. Now, which one of the five ministers actually said this? Brother Dale, good job. What about constant listening to the Word and letting the Word clean you out? All right, Brother Dale. Hebrews 6:12, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. I have witnessed our fivefold ministers inherit the promises of the promise of the new birth. Thus I follow them. Follow them as they follow Christ. God keeps his word. I'm going to kind of speed through some of these. A meeting that pastor's real wife, I'm skipping down the yellow. But you go into a place where a pastor is a solid gospel teacher and all hell will never move that church. Yes. Jesus Christ is yesterday, today, and forever. Till many times we fail to get the real power out of the gospel because we try to make it so complicated, and to see how simple it is, we miss it by that way. And God hiding in simplicity. To expect to be some great something and we miss the simple thing. We stumble over simplicity. That's how we miss God, is by stumbling over simplicity. God is so simple until the scholars of these days and all days miss him a million miles because in their intellect they know that there's nothing like him so great. But in his revelation, he makes it so simple they go plumb over the top of it and miss it.
Yep.
That's right.
So, do you find yourself lacking in revelation? Does God not deal with you as much as you would like? This is not his fault. He is not slack concerning his promise. 2 Peter 3:9. All right. One of the ways we have gone astray in our Christian life is by not spending enough time with God.
Right.
We think that by simply coming to church every service and listening to the word being preached, we are okay. You might say, well, I don't think that. The Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
Right.
Sometimes we're thinking things that we don't even realize we're thinking until Brother Dale or some minister exposes that, takes that veil off of our face, and we begin to see where we're at. We see that white horse rider riding away in opposition when the revelation comes.
Right.
So there's things that Brother Dale's preached when I literally thought, now I didn't think I was believing that, but now I see I really was. Until the revelation comes, I'm blind to what I actually even believe. So you might not think that this is you. But just double check, because frankly, if you don't go home and study and pray and read and listen to these sermons over and over again that are being preached here, maybe you fall in that category. Just think about that. So don't pitchfork it back to the next person and say, well, that's not me, that's for the young ones or somebody. Though that is a very necessary part of the Christian life, I'm talking about whatever I said in that last slide. Going to church, listening to the word, and so forth. Though that's a necessary part of the Christian life, we should also be spending much time in secret with the Lord.
Right.
We should be reading the sermons that our ministers tell us to read. You know, Brother Dale gives us homework assignments, I call them. Almost every service he says, go read or listen to this or that. Write it down, because you won't remember, and then go do it. Thinking on the things that are being preached by all of our ministers, Brother Branham, and by all the ministers here, and those who come through to preach, and so forth. Asking questions and spending much time in prayer, asking the Lord to reveal to us the word that is being brought. If you want to understand the seals, read the seal book. If you want to understand 70 weeks of Daniel, read the Daniel 70 weeks book. If you want to understand the seven church ages, read the church age book. Pretty simple, huh? But I know there's more to it. Reading does not give you a revelation. Right? What it does is sows down the Word of God. It does sow the Word of God into your mind so that God can quicken it to you.
Right.
This is our part of preparing our ground. Can't expect God to open our head and pour it in. Another thing I want to say about that is, how can you convince God that you're really sincere and really desire a revelation if you won't go and study and pray?
Right.
You know, it's like, Lord, I really desire to reveal your word to me, and that's a necessary part of praying. But then do you go and show them you're sincere? Okay, because the life goes with that. And you do that by studying and praying and spending time with them.
Mm-hmm.
I just love that picture in the scripture, so I thought I'd put that up there. 1 Peter 2:25, for you were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Let me go back to this one for a minute. So, talking about preparing our ground and so forth, I'll give you an illustration. I don't remember if I've ever heard this somewhere else, or if I just thought of it. But let's suppose that, say, a young girl walks in here right now, say 25 years old, and we know she's fertile, she's able to conceive, but we know she's never known a man, she doesn't have a husband or even a boyfriend, she's never been with a man in that way, and all of a sudden she says, you know what, I'm pregnant, I'm expecting a child. First we might say, well, you missed that boat that came, you know, with Mary. She's the only one that had the Immaculate Conception, right? So you'd say, well, how are you pregnant? You don't know a man. And she might come up with some kind of little story or something, but really we know she can't be pregnant outside of being with a man. And spiritually speaking, we cannot be born again. We cannot be bearing any fruit or anything to the Lord. Cannot be born again unless we've been spending time with Almighty God in secret. Okay, that's that time you make yourself available to Him, and He opens His Word to you, and you just lay yourself out there and say, Lord, now speak to me. And you just pray and read and study and open your mind to the Lord and just help Him in that regard. Then, another game of Name That Preacher. Everybody really, they got a time allotted to their life. You don't know how much time that God has given you, but you have a set amount of time you're here on earth, which is why the Bible says redeem the time. You want to maximize that, the time that you're given here on earth, to make as efficient as possible this process, the new birth. We should be giving everything that we have, everything we are, to God so that He can come, so that He can make His Word manifest in us. Because just like in this little womb, God is transforming us to take us from darkness into light. Who might have said that? One of our five ministers.
Wait.
Good guess.
Wait, no. I didn't say that.
You didn't say that?
Bob.
Bob. Bob Black Sheep.
Yep. Bob Black Sheep.
That might be hard to take.
So, I firmly believe, really in all seriousness, I really believe what these men are bringing to us will bring us to full redemption. Body, spirit, and soul. I absolutely believe that is here. Christ is in these men speaking to us. I'm not exalting the men. I'm just telling you that listen closely to what they say, to what they're saying. This was on January 7th. He started, that was the beginning of that series in here on birth pains. Okay? That was a really good one. All of those were really good. Alright? There's a little nugget hidden in there. Let's see here.
More and more over there.
Alright, this is just food for thought. If you're not interested enough in the Word now to sit down and study and pray and meditate, listen and read the sermons, how do you think you'll be suddenly interested in the message of cheer we receive in eternity? Have y'all ever given a thought to that? You say, well, my body's going to be changed. I'm going to be fully redeemed. All of a sudden, I'll have all this desire for the Lord then. I don't know about that. I think the Bible says to set your affections on things above. Right. And that tells me it's within our realm of possibility. He didn't say, add a cubit to your stature, because He knows we can't. He said, anything the Lord asks us to do, He said, be ye perfect, for I'm perfect. If He asks us to do those things, then it's possible. Right? Mm-hmm. Set your affections on things above, so that's something we can do. That's something in our part that we can intentionally set our affections on things above. Alright, and we do that by everything I just named here. Alright? 2 Thessalonians 2:10, I think Brother Wade referred to this a while back. I think I wrote it down word for word. With all deceitfulness, unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. So we have to have the love of the truth. We have to. You ever heard somebody, a minister, stand up and say, well, I just love this quote, or I just love that scripture? You know, they're falling in love with the Lord. And I have certain scriptures and certain quotes that I literally love, and I love to think on those things. You know, that's we're falling in love with the Lord, and that's part of it. From the seven church ages, the Thyatira church ages, the church age book. All right? It is the morning star that is visible when the light of the sun commences to shine. When our Son, Jesus, comes, there will be no further need of messengers. He will bring us His message of cheer Himself, and as He rules His kingdom and we live in His presence, the light of the Word will become brighter and brighter in our perfect day. What else could we desire above Jesus Himself? Is He not everything, even perfect everything? He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Amen. Even so, Lord God, by Thy Spirit, let us hear Thy truth. But I especially wanted to emphasize the message of cheer. That's what I was talking about. Can you put a price tag on eternal life? If you sacrifice worldly pleasures, consecrate your life to Christ, read, listen, and pray constantly, do you suppose you will look back from eternity with remorse about your consecrated life here on earth? Or regret? Okay, remorse, regret, whatever. Would you look back from a fully redeemed body, spirit, and soul, say in the future home, and say, I wish I had spent more time on Facebook while I could. Or spent more time in Greer's Almanac, like Brother Dale says. Or whatever, you name the thing that's hindering you, or spend more time cleaning the toilet, the bathroom, cleaning the kitchen, whatever it is that keeps you from the Lord, that keeps you from spending time with God, would you look back from full redemption and say, man, I wish I had to spend all that time studying? And I kind of have this idea that maybe I'll probably look back and say, I wish I had spent more time studying. You can't put a price tag on eternal life. That's the answer to my question. You can't put a price tag on eternal life. It's worth everything we could do. Is it worth, is full body, spirit, and soul redemption worth listening to a sermon twice, 5 times, 10 times? Yep, 100 times if you have time or if you can make the time. You know, if Brother Dale says, listen to such and such a sermon, and you say, well, I heard that one years ago, listen again.
That's right.
You know? Why not? Right. And all of our sermons that are preached here, these ministers here, yes, listen to them again.
Right.
Let's see. Luke 9:62, and Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. When we start our Christian journey, we should give Christ our all. No turning back, like Lot's wife, to worldly ideas and traditions, cares and pleasures. Let's leave everything, take up our cross, and follow Him. All right. I think that's the last slide. Oh. Somehow I'm missing all these books in this paper. Here's another game, it looks like. Yep. I've named that preacher again. There are so many of these little nuggets hidden in the message. It's wonderful. All of our schemes and our ideas and our ecclesiastical buildups and all of our politics and all of our science and everything, it's been proved that it's nonsense. And then we pray for God to help us to intervene, come in and do something for us. And then when He does, I just wonder if we'll be able to understand it, if we'll be able to receive it, or would we even consider it? Does anybody see humility written all the way across there? Humble, simplicity, right? Christ hidden in simplicity, because we can miss it entirely. So I think, especially in this hour, it behooves us to pay attention to what's happening and realize what's taking place. Anybody want to guess who said that one? Who? Bob Black Sheep? Yeah. Same exact. Same exact. That lesson itself is full of those nuggets.
I'll try to listen to you, Bob.
One more attribute that humans and sheep both share is strength in numbers. For this reason, humans, including message believers, tend to do what everyone else is doing and think they'll be okay. They say, God will have to accept us because we're so many in number. How can He reject so many people? I'll get to this one if I don't forget here in a minute. But it's like Catholicism. You know, there's a lot of Catholics, and if we believe in strength in numbers, we should just join the Catholic, because there's a lot more of them than there are us. You know? There are people in the message that I've talked to that I cross paths with about doctrine and so forth, and especially about the River Jordan and the Sea doctrine and so forth. And they would say something to me like, what about Brother So-and-So's group? They've got 800 people. If you're disagreeing with us, then you got to say they're wrong too. And what about Brother So-and-So's group and this other brother? She named all the big name preachers in the message and said, what about all them? And I said, well, I'm just talking about me. I just don't see what you're saying. You know, I don't know why you're getting offended, but anyway, you know, and they always think, what about these great big vast numbers? And that's exactly what sheep do. Sheep go running, and this is the right time to introduce that. Y'all remember the last time I talked about sheep, I talked about this illustration where there was 1,500 sheep, I think it was, jumped off a cliff, and 500 of them died. The first 500 or so died, and then they made a nice pillow for the other 1,000 to fall on. So they got injured, but the last 1,000 of them lived. Yeah. But one sheep started off a cliff. Who knows why? I think it was a butterfly. She was chasing a butterfly, and she went, and everybody else followed after. But no thought, apparently no thought process, no critical thinking. Is this really wise? It's just, I'm a sheep. I'm instinctively going to follow everybody else. So move out of my way. And, you know, what if some of these false doctrines, some of these feel-good doctrines are started by somebody just because it feels good, and it sounds good, and it's too good, it sounds too good to not be true, and they don't really research it, and they don't really check it out in the messages in the Bible, and then all of a sudden they start gaining like a snowball effect, sort of gaining momentum, because more and more people start to say, that does feel good, that does sound good, and more people start running with it, and before you know it, vast multitudes of people are following this little silly idea, and right off into death, and all of it started because we're that sheep nature, that sheep instinct, that we just follow the leader, you know. And strength in numbers.
Yeah.
Just give thought to that.
Yes.
This one Brother Dale also said listen to a while back, I think. You must be born again. Let's see. That the people might know that not rest upon some little experience they had, but to rest solemnly on their day-by-day life, how they live in the times when they're in church, and how they live when the great strain comes on the outside. Do they flee to the cross for help when trouble arises, or do they walk in their own spirit and their own thoughts? Do they rile back when they're riled upon? That's the question, Father. And when we see that it's totally impossible for any of us to save the other, that God has made an appropriate way, an all-sufficient sacrifice, and it's the only way that we can come, not by any church or any creed or denomination, any sensation, but by the way of Christ. So, you know, like I was talking about the testimony a while ago about Gabby giving her, you know, she was concerned as to whether or not she's really born again. You know, she could have looked to all the things. There's been a lot of changes. I've watched her over the years. She and I live together. She can watch me closer than any of y'all can, and I can watch her very close and see her progressing and think, well, gee, Gabby, you've come a long way. Maybe you do have the Holy Ghost. But I'm not going to stand in her way and say, well, you've got it. You just sit down now. You just go ahead and sit down and get on Facebook. No, I'd say keep on going. Keep right on trucking along. The end. All right. We're not done, though. We have another lesson. Let's start the next lesson. Can you even see that?
Right.
What?
I said the first.
Heckle me.
The first face was nicer.
No.
I don't see no black sheep in that.
Is there any questions about that one?
No, but there's a comment, though.
What's that?
You might be too young. Maybe some people might remember. Jim Jones was a good example of that.
That's right.
Yep, led 900 people drink the Kool-Aid.
Okay.
That was a little bit of a blurry side. So far, no good. Hold on just a second. All right, humility. So the objective on this lesson, I'll try to get through the first few slides of this one. It's mostly quotes at the front of this one. And then we'll try on the next lesson to finish the last half of this. So the objective is to understand what it means to humble ourselves before the Lord. Pretty simple. Humble, the definition, having or showing a modest or low estimate of one's own importance. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. I know Brother Wade's talked about it, you know, there's an importance about the land, you know, of Israel or Jerusalem and so forth, but, you know, in our day we could look at that and say, well, what about our body change, you know? God is concerned about this land, about our earth. You know, he wants to redeem us full body, spirit, and soul. The humble, this is Psalm 69:32, the humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. A lot of these things I'm going to tie into my last lesson too, just a little bit different variation of it. Isaiah 57. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite, which means like penitent heart, and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Matthew 18:4, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 23:12, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. James 4:6, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. James 4:10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up.
Amen.
1 Peter 5:5, likewise ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. There's really nothing the Lord can do with you when you're proud, when you're lifted up in revelation, or not revelation, I mean when you're lifted up in your own self, in your own ideas and so forth. In the next verse, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Well, that, you know, that due time is just thinking. There's another answer for Gabby, because she's waiting on the new birth, and so, but she's staying humble before the Lord, so that He may exalt her in due time, in His season, in His time.
That's right.
And then we got the Strong's definition for humble or humility, whichever one. To abase. Let me just start. Right there. To make low, to bring low, to level, reduce to a plane, to bring to a humble condition, reduce to meaner circumstances, to assign a lower rank or place to abase, to be ranked below others who are honored or rewarded, to humble or abase myself by humble living, to lower, depress of one's soul, bringing down one's pride, to have a modest opinion of oneself, to behave in an unassuming manner, devoid of all haughtiness. Okay. Base, cast down, humble of low degree, estate, lowly. And then not rising far from the ground, as a condition, lowly of low degree, brought low with grief, depressed, lowly in spirit, humble, in a base sense, deporting oneself abjectly. Okay. Alright. I know there's a lot of definitions, but let's just skip on to the next one. You get the idea. Alright. There are many misconceptions about what it means to be humble. Humble is often thought to mean simple or shallow. This common thought may lead to slothfulness toward God. As was once stated by Brother Dale, and I'm going on memory here, okay? I think this actually came from Sister Peggy. You might remember if you said this or not. This is a paraphrase, but...
When was she preaching?
Okay, did you hear that?
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
There is a difference between simplicity and stupidity. Did you say that?
I probably did.
Yeah. That's been a while back. Okay, I don't remember.
I believed it anyway.
He stood up and quoted her, okay?
Yes.
Right. Anyway, there's a difference between simplicity and stupidity. You know, people walk around and hold their head down saying, I'm just so humble, I just don't understand the seals, the 7 weeks of Daniel, all that's just over my head. Well, it's not over your head if you just get into it.
That's
you know?
Right. That's right.
You
that's
study
right.
it, and right. you actually need it. Very needful. On the contrary, to humble ourselves before God can mean many things, but perhaps the best summation of these is to submit our whole life to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's my definition. This includes prayer, meditation, servitude, fasting, studying, listening, and many other acts of love and obedience. Many people may feel that to be humble means that we should not study because we are trying to figure things out on our own, like Eve did, instead of waiting on God. This is a misconception about humility. Reading, studying, listening to sermons is not a way of trying to figure things out on our own. Studying the Word of God is actually necessary for us to, in order for God to reveal His Word to us. It's a part of our reasonable service. Let's read that scripture. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How can you do that unless you take on the mind of Christ? And how can you do that unless you're in the Word?
That's right.
So that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will, or Word, if you will, of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man a measure of faith. So think humbly of your own self. Alright, I always get in trouble with this time thing. So we got 5 minutes, right? Right?
Get in trouble with the time thing.
Yeah, because I'm getting confused. That clock says that clock's a little bit.
That clock puts us 5 minutes upstairs. If you wait until 10:30, Brother Dale's already in full bed.
I got it now.
I like it. Thank you.
That makes perfect sense.
This is how
can I overcome? You might not be able to hear that. I don't know.
Now we want to know how to overcome. Jesus told us how to do it.
Okay.
See, right there. Humility. Girded himself, dumped power, washed his disciples' feet, wiped them. The very God of heaven humiliated himself. We don't want to be humiliated. That's the reason women don't want their hair to come.
That's right.
The reason they don't want to dress like ladies should dress, like man don't want to. It's the same thing. They get humiliated. But Jesus constantly, look who you are. Greatness. Go to say something. Greatness humiliates itself. Greatness humbles itself. Greatness. I've had the privilege of meeting some great men. And if these guys have got a change of clothes, 50 cents in their pocket and to rattle, that's the guy that thinks he's somewhere he's up. But I stood with a great man. I mean great man. The ragged sleeve, cup. That makes you think you're the great person. See, greatness is humility. Don't forget that, church. Greatness is expressed in humility. Not how fine you can be. I don't mean dirty. I mean humble in spirit. I don't mean just sit down and go to wash and clean up. That you should do that, you know. But I'm talking about humility, genuine humility, not something spot on. Something it is. That's real humility. Jesus told us how to do it. You overcome. Mean overcome means to stand the test.
That's right.
Like all the old saints did. Like Jesus did. In the midst of all of his enemies, he stood the test. Everything he was tested against, he stood. In the very face of sickness, and him being Messiah, he healed.
We're pretty close to the time to go upstairs, so let's just go ahead and head up there. Is there any questions? Comments?
Good job.
Thank you.
Good job.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.